Good morning. This is Lance Kenmore with the Kenmore team, and I'd like to welcome you to this week's edition of the Tri-Cities Real Estate Update. As always, you can contact me, Lance Kenmore, anytime direct on my cell phone at 727-8977 or visit us on the web at kenmoreteam.com. Once again, I would like to thank John for hosting and everybody here at the station for working to make this happen. John, how have you been?
Well, keeping busy. I wish Mother Nature would quit raining off and on because we got to get Harley ready for baseball.
Well, that might be the case for baseball, but McKay, I told you I made a pact that I was not going to complain this year if it stayed in the, high 40s, low 50s a couple days. Even a little rain, I'm fine with. As long as we don't have the white stuff on the ground and the ice to slide around in, I'm a happy boy, and I tell you what, the market, the real estate market, is really happy about it. So, yes. So you can complain a little bit, but I'm not going to. It's just fine for
me. I'll do enough for everyone.
We have with us our in-house residential lending specialist, Mr. Mike Denslow with Home Street. Mike, how are you?
I'm good, and no complaints of the weather here. I think last year we had to squish in 12 months worth of real estate. In probably 9.5, 10.
Yes, you are correct.
And this year, it's starting off strong beginning of January, and we're just, I was just saying to you earlier, we're just going to move on to spring.
Yeah, we kind of hit on it last week when we talked about listing in a spring market, and once again, a few new listings put on the market this last week, and most of those in multiple offer situations. And so that spring market, as far as real estate is concerned, is here and kicking along at a fast pace. So we're out there taking a look at that. Before we get to our topic of the day, we always like to start off with our crazy celebrity real estate story. Last week, we featured a house that was a compound in Palm Springs of three or four different buildings. Well, we're going to the opposite coast this week. We're going to Miami, but another compound. Now, this house is actually three separate buildings. But what's interesting about this is there is a 90-foot lap pool that connects the houses. So you effectively have your own lazy river running from building to building. So you're in the dining portion of the house. You want to go over to the living portion. You're in Miami at your compound. Jump in the lazy river and move to the next building.
You're probably just wearing a swimsuit anyway, right? So no big deal.
Absolutely. It was interesting. This place sold last year for just over $2 million. It was built in 1968 in Franklin Lloyd Wright's mid-century modern style. And reason it was built in three separate buildings is the original architect and landowner did not want to compromise any of the trees on the property. They didn't want to compromise any of the palm trees. So they actually built the homes around the landscaping effectively. So I've seen some of those type of things done before, but never quite to this level.
So basically, you could hop on an inner tube and float from one building to the other.
Yeah, there you go. Absolutely.
If you really, I am living in the wrong house. I could do that in our house.
No
mud.
Yes,
if it rained a lot.
If it rained a lot. There. So that is our crazy celebrity house of the week. Back to a little bit of Tri-Cities reality. And what we've been talking about recently, last week, we talked about getting the homes ready to go on the market and the listing. And we've kind of been reviewing back to the basics as we start 2018 and some of the key features that you are looking at with a real estate purchase. And actually, one of the things that brought this topic up was in this market, some interesting, I'll say interesting, semi-dangerous, strange things start to happen. And generally, one of the biggest components of a purchase and sale agreement when a buyer's writing an agreement to purchase a property is what's known as an inspection contingency. Now, fast forward, you're in a market like the Tri-Cities that has a 2-month supply of homes instead of 5 or 6, which would be a balanced market. You're competing against 6 other offers. It is very tempting in an attempt as a buyer to make your offer more attractive to waive your inspection contingency. Sellers looking at 5 offers, maybe 4 have an inspection contingency. Maybe yours then doesn't. Now, that is, I said, borderline dangerous was how I introduced this topic today.
Because if you skip the inspection,
you've lost your contingency to back out and retrieve your earnest money if there was a problem discovered. But even worse than that is you don't know what's going on with this house. So it would be a very, very rare circumstance if we were representing a buyer that we would advocate for that to be the case, because it is a huge, huge risk. Now, on the other hand, many times, the other 50% of the time, we're representing the seller. Sellers maybe got a cash offer, so there's no financing contingency. They've got an offer with no inspection contingency. If you're talking to your seller about which of these offers is more attractive for a seller, holy Hannah, that one's looking pretty, pretty, pretty attractive. So it's one of those things that we've seen recently happening. And so I just wanted to make people a little bit aware of what's in the inspection contingency. But Mike, from a lending perspective, just to give people some perspective, you see a lot of purchase and sale agreements come across your desk. If you were guessing, in your estimation, how many of those purchase and sale agreements do you think have inspection contingencies with them?
Oh, the vast majority, because it's the smart thing to do, right?
Absolutely. And in our case, like I said, it's only this really hot real estate market that brings about and makes this a topic, because Mike's right. We see probably 98% of our purchase and sale agreements that we deal with have either an inspection contingency or a feasibility contingency, which is virtually the same. It just gives you a broader power on the commercial side of things. But residentially, too, yeah, we're looking at 95, 96, 98% of our purchase sale agreements have that. So what that inspection contingency does is it just lays out right in the very beginning with your purchase and sale contract that this agreement is conditioned on the buyer's subjective satisfaction with inspections of the property and the improvements on the property. Buyer's inspections may include a buyer's option and without limitation, structural, mechanical, general condition of the improvements, compliance with building and zoning codes, an inspection of the property for hazardous materials, a pest inspection. We were talking about this with John McKay off the air. Sometimes pest infestations can be something you want to look at. Even a soils or stability inspection. Now, interestingly enough, and this comes up a lot, is it then further states, and a lot of people don't realize this, the inspection must be performed by buyer or a person licensed under Chapter 18-280 RCW. So that is an RCW in Washington State that basically is compelling that people have to be licensed or exempt from licensing in that chapter to perform these inspections. So a lot of people don't realize that. So a buyer can perform their own inspection. Once again, another thing that I would not suggest someone to do. In fact, if a buyer tells us they're doing that, you have to sign a special waiver saying, I told you that was a bad idea. that's how firmly I believe in that situation. Now, there are a few people say a home inspector obviously is buying his own house, and that happens. We've helped home inspectors do that. If a home inspector is buying his own house, now I'm going to have, I'm going to make an exception there. But for the most part, then you need to be dealing with a licensed home inspector. The situations that happen that become dangerous and actually cause an increase in liability is when a buyer says, for instance, well, my stepbrother Nick is a general contractor. I'll just have him do the inspection. Well, there's a high likelihood, based upon these RCWs, he, as defined by this addendum and the general forms we use in the Tri-Cities through the Washington Association of Realtors, he is not licensed to be doing that inspection work. So what you need to do is, we always have a list of 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. There's some great inspectors in the Tri-Cities of who we recommend to do these home inspections. And we give ourselves a certain time frame. The contract specifies the default date is that the inspection contingency will be waived unless the buyer within 10 days gives notice of their disapproval. So how it works, a buyer will call up a licensed home inspector and they'll say, hey, I'm under contract. I've written a purchase and sale agreement with the Kenmore team. I'd like you to do a home inspection on the property. We'll set up a time with the sellers and their agent to have the home inspector come and do a thorough inspection on the property. What a lot of people don't realize also is at this point, a lot of times what will end up happening is a potential renegotiation of terms. A lot of times this is the buyer's chance to have discovery of what's going on with the property. And many times, unbeknownst to even the sellers, we will find, or the inspector will find, defects that the seller didn't even know about. I mean, I don't know how many times we've had, it's not like sellers or anybody in general, unless they're very strange, spend a ton of time in their crawl space. It's not you just don't get under your house and crawl around under there for fun. So a lot of times what happens is there might be a small plumbing leak. You know, say the supply line to, you know, one of the sinks or the bathrooms, there could be a small plumbing leak. It could be very sandy soil underneath the house, and it could be just dripping down onto the vapor barrier and then evaporating or going into the sand underneath there. So a lot of times there's defects that are discovered that the seller did not know about. That's the opportunity for a buyer to look at that report, see what's in there, and then make a request of the seller to repair those items. Or a lot of times, if there are items that maybe the seller's moved out of state already, or maybe the seller doesn't have the ability to fix those items, a lot of times what will happen in that case is the buyer will ask for a credit for those deficiencies in the home. Maybe they offered $200,000, but they found 3 plumbing leaks and the water heater was bad. So, you know, instead of $200,000, maybe they'll amend their offer to now be $198,500 instead of $200,000, and do either a credit or a price reduction that better shows what the price of that home should be. So one of the things for people to think about is, awesome that we have an offer and that it's signed around, but if we have an inspection contingency in place, that's going to be one of our first hurdles to get over. In fact, a lot of times, Mike, we'll wait to order the appraisal until we know we're through the inspection time period, right?
Yeah, that happens the majority of the time, but we also have those exceptions where the close date, where I'm selling my house and we need to be in by this date, and we know how long appraisals will take, so we have to order it, get it in the queue.
Yep.
And then if we have to cancel, I would say the amount of times we cancel an appraisal is pretty few. Most of the time, you're going to work through that inspection. Unless maybe it's a property with a lot of outbuildings and it's older and there's a lot of different things going on, and then it just becomes too many things and the buyer's like, you know, I just want to go find something else. I didn't realize there was an electrical issue over here and a plumbing issue over here. There's just too many different things going on. I don't feel comfortable, and they bail. But I'd say the majority of the time it gets worked through.
Absolutely, and it generally does. And if for some reason it doesn't, we're always quick to notify the lender to say, you know, can we cancel that, or where are we at with that? Or if we're moving forward, just letting the lender know, okay, we're through the inspection hurdle. now just on to appraisal. So it's that tight communication that makes that process go really, really smoothly.
Lance, I was going to say, and Kim and Holly in your office, they work those inspections and they do a great job and they communicate. So there's no issues there.
Well, and there's an art form to it. I mean, they have negotiated hundreds and hundreds of inspections. They have the contacts for the service providers that can look at the deficiencies, the specialty contractors that can look at each piece of that. And they pull some miracles off for me over there in the closing department. So glad to have Holly and Kim working through that. When we come back from the break, we're going to talk about some of those situations where a lot of folks think they don't need an inspection and what the risks are to the buyer in that situation.
Right here on News Talk 870.
Welcome back to the Tri-Cities Real Estate Update. Today we've kind of been delving into a huge aspect of the real estate transaction, and that is the inspection contingency. Get in a hot market like this and you see some people start to actually waive inspections, which is kind of unheard of around the Tri-Cities, but more and more we've been seeing a little bit as people scramble to try to make their offer look better. And it's a risk reward ratio for a buyer, and there's a lot of factors that go into play there. Maybe it's a newer house and they're not as concerned about it. Maybe they are in the construction trade, and if something comes up, they can deal with it. You know, those are very unique situations, and when we see that happen, we have a long, long discussion with that buyer about is it worth it, because it takes away a lot of those initial protections for that buyer. Another big part about the transaction that we're talking about every week, and that is the lending side of things. You know, a lot of times we're writing these contracts with these dates and these deadlines. We talked about 10 days to get the inspection done. But if you write a quick close contract, like a 30-day close contract, and you burn up 10 of those days waiting to find out what the condition of the property is, that doesn't allow Mr. Mike Denslow over there enough time to get his job done. So, Mike, I'm sure you guys are balancing this on your side of the equation over there.
Well, yeah. I mean, obviously, we've gotten clients pre-approved, and they're out there looking, and we're sending them numbers. I'm a big advocate of giving them plenty of information. Oh, okay, you're pre-approved to 250. But when you find that specific house that you want to put an offer in, I'm going to send you updated numbers for that specific house that has those property taxes, the rate of that day, if it's 247.9 or 252.5, whichever. I want you to know those numbers on that day when you're ready to rate that offer. If it's a 30-day close, we need to get going right away because appraisals are taking, you know, 2.5-3 weeks. Doesn't give us a lot of time. We're going to get, I say, as soon as I get the contract, if it's a 30-day close, I'm going to be on the phone with the client. We're going to get the rate locked. We're going to be moving forward. We're not going to be waiting for the inspection to be done to move forward at this point. We're going to get the disclosures out that need to be signed and acknowledged. And then when I have those back, that's when I can order the appraisal. I'm going to test the waters right then. Hey, what do we think? Does it look good? If I hear that, we're really not sure, then I'm going to wait. Otherwise, I'm moving forward, ordering the appraisal. We're moving down the line because our big thing with our reputation is closing on time. There's a lot of out-of-town lenders that have ads all over the TV, but they don't live in this community. And if they don't close on time, the ads are still going to be running next month. And
that's very true. Yes.
But I'm living in this community and I'm going to the grocery store and volunteering with Water Follies and doing all these different things. So my reputation in town has got to be stellar because if we screw up, everyone's going to know. If National Lender back east screws up, well, then who is that?
Absolutely. And your forum for addressing that, you know, when there's a moving truck out front or you're stuck at a hotel for 3 or 4 days and someone's in your office to talk to you about it, that's a lot different than sending an email. That's for darn sure, because maybe that moving truck shows up at your house. It's a different kind of pressure to perform with that. And you guys do a great job with that. I mean, I think the biggest thing, one of the reasons we like dealing with you at Home Street over there, is that the communication is really good about that. You always know ahead of time, and you're always prepping us for information. And if the client needs to get something, you're coming to us and saying, hey, can you help me get this any faster? Can you facilitate this? So,
yeah. And I had your transaction coordinators, Holly and Kim, in my office last year, and we reverse engineered a closing so they could see the dates that everyone really has to deal with, but I think might be unique to us, is we look at the closing date. You know, we pre-approve somebody and we look at credit, income, asset, just like anybody else, and we deal with those as we deal with every single person that comes in. But we're going to look at that closing date of X, and then we're going to backwards reverse engineer, like, well, we have to do the closing disclosure by this date, which means we have to have the appraisal by this date, which means we have to order it by this date. And so we know in the first week how things need to get done. And right, as long as we're getting the information from the client and their employer on a timely basis, everything's going to work out, and that's how we want it to happen. But yeah, the communication with Holly and Kim, the transaction coordinators, we keep bringing them up. Hopefully they're listening.
They're getting some props today, for
yeah,
sure.
Yeah, their understanding of what we're doing has helped, and it's actually even helped when somebody else has actually chosen a different lender. I know it's hard to believe. And but they can come back to them and say, hey, well, you need to get the closing disclosure out, and when's this appraisal going to be back? Because, you know, I know that you have to have it by this time to close on time.
Absolutely. And that's, I love having that backup in the office. And that's one of the reasons we've really broken down that process to where we have a listing agent helping sellers, a buyer's agent helping buyers, and then a closing coordinator dealing with these type of details. Because in the traditional model, what can happen a lot of times is a buyer comes in from out of town and they're here for 2 days and they want to look at houses, and that buyer agent goes out there and they're just, I mean, for 2 days solid, they're with that buyer and they're touring around. Well, they might not get back to a document that was needed or a question that was answered or research that needed to be done at the city to help the appraiser make a determination of the property classification. And so that could sit for 2 days while they're out with that buyer. In our case, we have those transaction coordinators not working with the process of finding the home and negotiating that, but following up on all of those details, being licensed, being in the office, not being beholden to that next commission check because they're getting paid to watch the details of that transaction. So it's really helped. And like I said, they've done hundreds of transactions as opposed to a normal agent who it would take, say they did 25 a year. It would take them 4 years to do 100. And they're going to see those same amount of details on the closing side in 1 year. So fast forward 2-3 years later with their experience, and they've done 400-500 transactions, and I don't want to steal somebody else's tagline, but there's an insurance commercial that says we've seen a few things. Yeah. And I always love that tagline because that was a brilliant tagline that they came up with. Because yeah, I get some days I get home and walk in the back door and I say to myself, man, I've seen a few things, and I might have just seen a new one that I didn't see in the last 1,000 transactions. So it's a lot of fun, and definitely is a defining characteristic.
Yeah, volume helps, right? I mean, if you can efficiently handle that much volume, like at our office, when we're closing, 800 plus loans this last year, versus a credit union in town that might be closing 100. I mean, it's funny. This is our specialty. this is what we do is we close home loans. You know, you come to our office, you know, we don't do car loans. We don't do this. We don't do that. We close residential home loans.
Yeah.
That's what we do.
Absolutely.
And we do it well and we do it efficiently and we communicate the whole, and that's our reputation. So it, your business model is, you know, you do a lot of different things, but you have the departments that do the individual things and very efficiently. Our thing is, this is all we do. Boom. Home loans. This is what we're going to do for you.
Absolutely. That's good information, Mike, coming out of Home Street and your crew over there. And we appreciate all the help. One of the things I wanted to point out as we get closer to wrapping up here, because I saw this happen twice in the last month, and I saw buyer purchases of homes that had, and I'm taking it a step further to a very specific situation, that had swimming pools that were closed, and these transactions had no inspection contingency. So I will tell you, from a risk management perspective, I literally, like, it made me shiver and shudder, and because I would not have wanted to be in that situation. And so, you know, general rule of thumb is if you have a pool, something's wrong with it. You just don't know what it is right now. And so that, you know, people that have pools will laugh, but that's what happens. So having that inspection time period to check that out, protecting your buyers in those situations, very, very important. If anybody has any questions about that or going how to structure that in a transaction, even in winter, which makes it difficult, we have some great solutions to those situations. I do, before I run out of time, we're talking about spring inventory. We've got some spring inventory, and I just want to run over it real quick because we've got some great homes, new that have come on the market. 3490 East Lake Drive. This is out in West Richland in the Lakes neighborhood, a very desirable community. It's a 5-bedroom, 4-bath home out there, 4,300 square feet. It's on almost an acre, very, very close to the community park and the lake. Yes, we have lakes in Tri-Cities, people. You just got to get to the right spot. This is a gorgeous, gorgeous layout. Formal dining room, 2 family rooms with fireplaces, office, updated kitchen with granite counters. I mean, this truly is a custom estate type house. And that just came on the market at $620,000. So that's 4,300 square feet in a very desirable neighborhood. Have any questions about that, let us know. Pick number 2, 61305 Juan Road out in Benton City. This is country living, 10 irrigated acres with a shop and a barn, 1,848 square feet, front covered deck, large living areas, really, really great setup, detached 2-car garage, and that's coming in at $320,000. So if you want to get outside of town a little bit, some of that country living, great, great prospect in that. And then pick number 3 is 323 Shaw Street in Richland. So this is very, once again, desirable North Richland location, 4-bedroom, 4-bath, another home that's right at 4,300 square feet, 4,229, close to Leslie Groves Park and the schools. You've got tile flooring through the entry and the kitchen, bamboo floors in the living room. There's been quite a bit of updating. You've got awesome kitchen with a large island, laundry room, half bath, office, all on the main level. Lots of flex space with a basement, a 28x13 family room, and another fireplace. Full bath also in the basement. And then you've got a newer deck that is just a beautiful, fully fenced, very nicely landscaped yard. And that's North Richland with all of that space, 4,229 square feet. And that's coming in at $470,000. So really desirable new inventory on the market. We've been out doing a ton of seller evaluations. So we've got a lot of new property coming on the market in the next 20 days. If you have any questions about what we have upcoming, you can always call our office at 735-1025 or shoot us an email at kenmoreteam.com. We can put you on a watch list because we have inventory that's coming up, but the sellers are prepping and getting ready right now. And we can keep you apprised if we have a match of what's going to be coming to the market, so you hear about it right away. Mike, on the lending side, if for some reason someone wasn't pre-approved but they're getting ready to buy, how can they get a hold of you?
Well, even if they are pre-approved, they can still come over and get pre-approved with us too. So,
absolutely.
572-3651 is the number.
Sounds great, and we will be right back here next week.
Right here on News Talk 870.